Well, while we're waiting for them to be dismissed, if you got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be right there in verse 1, going on from there, so that'll give you a second to do that. Next Sunday, we have an exciting day ahead of us, from membership to baptism to so many things that we're going to get to celebrate together. It'll be a little bit different of a service, so hopefully you're coming with anticipation in your hearts to see how God is moving in the life of the people of God. Are you all doing okay? Good, good. All right, so we've been talking about what it means to be an influencer, a word that society has really capitalized on, a word that we hear about a lot, and I believe in the church we have the opportunity to be the greatest influencers that there ever was, because we serve Jesus Christ, who I believe made the greatest influence ever in life. And then second to that is Otto, O-T-T-O. Y'all are you dry today? Is that okay? You're just not too wet outside, so you're dry. Do y'all know Otto Frederick Rahwetter? Y'all are lost? You don't know about the history of sliced bread? Okay, well, that's the inventor of the invention. And so I've really been fascinated by this. I know I kind of shared he's on the list of most 100 influential people of all time. But interestingly enough, his success didn't happen overnight, which is usually the case. If you're really going to make change, it doesn't just happen like that. Because back in his day, they didn't have Shark Tank and things like that, where you can present your idea and all of a sudden, because you're on TV, you know, there's like a section at Walmart that you can go to, and it's like Shark Tank section or as seen on TV section. And every time I go by that section, you know what it looks like? The same as it did last time, but with one thing added. You know what I'm saying? People don't buy that stuff. But anyway, Otto, he faced a lot of struggles. In fact, he was in the jewelry business. Did you know this isn't that far gone either, right? His son actually did an interview a couple of years back, and so this isn't like a long-time invention. But anyway, he sold his jewelry businesses to invest all of his money into making this bread slicer that also wrapped up the bread at the same time. And his first invention and all the plans burnt up in a bakery. Now, that was back in the day where it wasn't backed up in the cloud, and so he literally had to start again. He couldn't remember details of the invention because it took him so many years, and it burnt. And so he started all over again. 16 years later, he came up with it. The first place, which was in Minnesota, the first place that bought one of his things in 3 weeks saw a 1,000% sales increase, and his invention is accredited to the fastest growing change in the world. And now we know, and I've been in a lot of places, everywhere from South Africa to India to Brazil, and guess what they all have? Sliced bread in wrappings. Guess what happens at home? The other night, I'm on my way home. What does my wife call? She calls and says, don't forget to pick up bread, bananas, and milk. That's kind of a staple. And in our house, we go through one loaf in one sitting, and so you always have to have a second loaf. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just, it is just a truth. So, because I eat two, they eat one. You add that together, and now since they've decreased the size of the loaves, if you all watch that, they get smaller and smaller, but the price goes up and up. And so, anyway, loaves used to be this big. Now they're this big. And if you get gluten-free, like my wife, they're this big. And so, good thing she doesn't eat very much. But they compare that invention to so many things. Now, interestingly enough, he didn't go out to change the world, and yet every single nation in the world uses this invention. And church, I believe this. I believe that each and every one of you have the capacity to be an influencer just like that. Because, see, your influence goes beyond a loaf of bread. Your influence goes beyond the time we have here. And as Paul is going to remind the people of Philippi, their influence, if they would press on, is very, very significant. And it will go on for many, many years, and then eternity from there. And so, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to skip to verse 12 and go on to verse 21, a passage that many of you, yes, you're standing. Go ahead, Terry and Tim, look at that. Come on now. A passage that many of you read, held on to, probably have highlighted in your Bibles, maybe on the wall at your house, but a significant verse and a significant challenge from a very significant influencer in the life of the world. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but, now here's the key statement, I press on. And I love this next statement, to make it my own. To go from something that I was taught to something that's in my heart. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, let those of us who in Christ Jesus are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But this is key, church. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. God, today, would you take these words and bring life to them? God, today, would you just let me be a vessel and the words that come through my mouth and through my heart and through my mind, just be you. And so today we trust you. Today, as we close out this series and celebrate next Sunday with so many people that have decided to celebrate your walk with them, God, we pray that today we will be sent out, prepared and ready to be influencers that go beyond today, tomorrow, and the days ahead, but affect eternity. God, we trust you, we love you, we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we pray that your power would come in fullness. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, obviously, as we started to read it, you immediately probably knew the scripture. So I want you to think about this. There's a couple of things today that I believe as we close this out, that if you'll hold on to, your influence, your capacity to influence others for Christ will just definitely grow. Now, is it okay to just have a little bit of fun? Do y'all want to laugh just a little bit? Okay. So I'm going to tell you a lie, and then I'll tell you the truth. Does that work? Because I'm already telling you that I'm going to lie, and so you'll know the minute I say it that it's probably not true. And so the first thing today, now this is true, is genuine influence requires us to be chasers of Christ. Now, that's basically what Paul was saying. And you've got to think, at this moment, Paul was already 30-some years into his ministry. In fact, at this moment, he was about to exceed the number of years that Jesus was alive on earth. And so think about the years of influence. Started many churches, wrote about 31% of the New Testament, even at this point. And so Paul had a significant mindset, and that was, I have to continue to race, to chase, to go after. Have y'all ever been in a chase? Y'all, some of you should say, yes, I'm still in a chase. Hello, you're married. If you're married, you're still in a chase if you're appropriately following your premarital counseling, okay? Because my premarital counseling always ends with, never end the chase. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the beginning of our relationship. Now, here's where things might not be totally true, okay? But I'm going to tell it in my version and then the truth, okay? My version is that I met her parents, and then I met Ashley. And that Sunday, I had heard them talking about, because they're good Nazarenes, they were headed to General Assembly, right? This is all true. They were headed to General Assembly, and I was there, and Ashley was going with them, and it was in Florida, right? General Assembly was in Florida. Y'all remember that when General Assembly was in Florida? I had overheard them, and, you know, I wasn't really like, you know, I was all that, and so I just kind of went along with it. I was already falling in love with her, and she turned to me, and she said, you know, I just can't find anybody to watch my dog, and she said, do you think that you might want to watch my dog? And I was like, well, of course, I mean, you know, but this is just like, I'm just watching your dog. And she was like, well, I think it means more than that. And so she began to chase me. That's pretty good, right? Now, you know that's probably not true, right? Now, that's how it happened in my head, but let me tell you how it really happened. I overheard her talking about the kennel, and I thought in my mind as a dude, right, what if I offered to take her dog for her? That'd be a good first step, right? Come on, men, caring for and taking for is a good first step. And so I actually cut into the conversation and said, well, you know what, I'd love to save you the money. That's how I approached it, because she, you know, is really careful of money. I said, I'd love to save you the money, and I think I'll watch your dog. And you know what I was thinking? That'll give me a reason to call her every day and give her updates, you know what I'm saying? So those updates started at like 10 minutes, then they went to 20, to 2 hours, to 4 hours. But still, by day 6 of her being gone, she still ain't calling me. You know what had to happen? I had to call her, you know what I'm saying? And I'm still calling her. So anyway, and if you know her well about her phone, she don't answer it, so you got to chase her down, okay? So I'm still chasing her down. I'm still, in fact, last night I was laying in my bed with a bad back on a heating pad. Sorry, it's like, I feel like I'm an old man today. But anyway, laying on my heating pad, calling her, honey, can you get me a, and she's like, what do you want now? I'm like, you know what? When you're sick, I'm just kidding, that's not how it works. It's actually, again, I told you a little bit of mistruth here. So when I'm sick, she's like, what do you need, baby? When she's sick, I'm like, honey, don't you know I don't do that. I care for you well. Is Janae in here? All right, good, because she'd correct me. Okay, but anyway, Paul was basically saying you should never stop chasing. In fact, it translates as this word here. I don't really say them because I'm not good at saying them. So you say them in your mind and you say them right. And here it's talking about pressing on, chasing, going after, never stopping. It actually holds a negative connotation as well as a positive. Now here it translates in the positive, which means you're chasing something, right, that's healthy, that's good. But it's also used in this era as being chased in a negative, which is opposite of what Paul's doing now, but what he used to do. Does that make sense? Because a lot of Christians in the day were being pursued relentlessly to be killed. And so it was actually used in the same way. So you would press on, you would run because you were being chased. And here, Paul's talking about it in the positive, meaning never stopping his pursuit in understanding and knowing Christ better. Now, when you think about yourself, how does that relate to your walk with the Lord? Now, I've probably said this here from this pulpit many times, but your pursuit for Christ should far exceed any other pursuit in your life. And what Paul was saying to the people is if you pursue Christ first, other things will just come in line. See, oftentimes we pursue our desires over Christ and then we hope that Christ comes along with our desires. And yet if we'll just pursue Christ, our desires, if they're along the lines of Christ and God and in his will, they come to be. See, sometimes we get destination minded in the church. We say things like, well, I'm okay. Well, I'm good. Well, I believe that I'm going to. And so we settle in. I think Paul here was saying that it's about the journey. In fact, this word is used 45 times in the New Testament. 32 of those times, it was referring to those being chased to be persecuted. The remainder of those times is hopefully what you're living in, which is the pursuit of Christ, relentlessly chasing after his work, his will, his love. Paul also said it here as being single-minded. Now, let's just be honest, because I'm like this, so I'm just being totally real. Sometimes we can be what? More than single-minded. We can be double-minded, meaning our self and our desires, gets in the way of the single-mindedness of Paul was saying, be careful. Be careful of the rabbit trails. Be careful of getting too engulfed in religion. Because remember, the people that we're talking about, they were getting really, really entrenched in the church and those within the church. And their minds were set on, and they were getting more closed-minded, and the work wasn't spreading like some of the other works. And how easy is that still in 2023 for that to happen? Some single mind must be master, else there will be no agreement in anything. Now I want to take that and apply it to our hearts. When you have the mind of Christ and that battle is defeated, you can think as one person, you can live as one person, and you can be one person. When you're constantly battling double-mindedness, because your desire is pitted up against his desire, and your will is pitted up against his will, it's just a battle. As a pastor, I've sat with people over and over again all my ministry, from when I was a youth pastor till now. Well, I just don't understand. And we begin to break it down, and we begin to look at, and we begin to think on, and we begin to really delve into. And oftentimes, the root boils down to what? The mind of Christ is not the only mind present in your being. And so, when you're double-minded, you make decisions in Christ and outside of Christ, but you hope Christ to fix them all. It's hard. It's hard enough in life, as we talked about this morning, to be single-minded and for Christ, because the enemy is relentless. The enemy is always going to chase you. The minute you think he isn't, it's the minute he's coming in. See, if we really want to have influence, then just watch people's pursuit, because what they pursue defines where their heart is. What they talk about, what they share, what they complain about, what they focus on, where they serve, what they give, what they don't, what they do, all those things help us see their pursuit. Now, if you really love somebody, you never stop pursuing them. I don't care what your age is. I mean, if you have someone that you really love, you never stop pursuing them. It's the conviction of my heart. I know when I don't do right by my wife. And you know why? Because it bothers my heart. And then I have to go to her and I have to say, honey, that wasn't pursuing you. That was putting you aside. So if I can do that in my humanness, then I better be able to do it in my what? My spirit. Now, since I'm the Mac Daddy, you know what I'm saying? I had to blow that out there. I continue to pursue her. Now, you got Mama Mac on you. It actually has to do with mac and cheese and our love for mac and cheese. We went to a Mac. We never buy gimmick stuff or hoodies or anything like that, but this, I thought, you know what? Since I am the Mac Daddy, I might as well just get the shirt. I'm just kidding. I really don't believe that, but I feel like just being funny. Okay. Some of you are so tired of me. Anyway, it's number two. Genuine influence continues when we understand we are a colony of heaven. So, colony, it probably doesn't have the best connotation in our society and probably not in our history as Americans, because we were a colony of and under the authority of. And yet, interestingly enough here, this is a different translation and looks a lot different. And it's all about a mindset. So everything in this passage, Paul was speaking to a mindset that affects the heart. And see, in order to really pursue Christ and understand him and be true influencers, we've got to understand who we're a part of. Now, if you look at just the traditional understanding of colony, you'll get that it's a group of people of one nationality or ethnic or ethnicity living in a foreign city or land. Now, that's the traditional translation, but if you understand it from Paul here, he was saying to us that we are this, and I can't say that either, but anyway, you can read it yourself, but this verb meant a subset of a variety of backgrounds, meaning it didn't matter where you were from, or what your grouping was, or what your ethnicity was, or what your original nationality was. It didn't matter. You were coming together as a subset of heaven. If you read the New Testament well, you see that as it is, right? We understand that scripture to understand that we have the opportunity to experience the things of heaven here on earth when we really have kind of a colony mindset. It means that we don't believe we're residents of here. This is talking crazy. So if you're new to the faith, you're like, where are you coming from? See, Paul was saying, because remember, the church was getting off course. Some aspects of it were getting political. Some aspects of it were getting so involved in. And he was saying, do you remember who you're really a part of? See, church, if we understand who we're really a part of, then we have a true understanding that we are a subset of the kingdom of heaven, waiting for entry into heaven. It's actually a word, too, that's closely translated to Christ, meaning we're basically a subset of Christ, meaning we are the people that hold the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And this is a result of the work of Christ and the constant work of Christ within us. So Paul was saying, hey, if you'll just let Christ continue to work in you and you will grow in humility and let him be a part of who you are every day, you will be a subset naturally of heaven. Now let's just be honest. Are the churches, let's just say in America, reflective of being subsets of heaven? If I asked people outside of the church, do you think churches in general are a subset and reflect heaven, what would they probably say? They'd say no. I have enough interaction with people outside of the church that their response would probably not be that. In general, not about AFC or... Interestingly enough, Paul talks about the coming together of two. And I like this, and I looked at what John Wesley had to say about it. And he was saying that Paul was saying that as your inner heart, your inner being, your inner mind, those things that even the people next to you aren't really aware of, as that becomes more Christ-like, it's getting closer and closer to receiving the glorified body. In fact, Paul was saying here that you're preparing your body for the glorified body that God is going to gift you with your new name. And so eventually, hopefully, you're going to have the opportunity for the inner to be just right and ready for the new outer. And when they meet, they'll come together. And then the inner will look like the outer, which, as Abby said today, was the glorified body given. See, the problem is, when they intersect, are they ready to intersect? And since we don't know, Paul was saying, when they're going to intersect, and John Wesley would say, since we don't know when they're going to intersect, are we constantly preparing for them to intersect? So that the inner reflects what we're given on the exterior by our Lord and Savior. I'd never really thought about it in that way. Influence explodes when our inner affections are visible and reflect as an outpouring of our inner affections towards Christ. I just don't know that you can help it. In fact, I'm watching many of you do it. In fact, I've watched some of you day in and day out. You're even like how you look on the outside, I just think, is changing in your interactions with people and your willingness to serve and be willing to be his hands and feet. You are just changing in a good way. And I don't think we realize this, but your inner truth is reflected by your personal beliefs. And really by your personal belief of where your citizenship is held. Because see, passion is birthed in where we believe our citizenship is. Third thing, and last. Genuine influence continues when we have a clear anthem. Y'all know what an anthem is? Choir, you should know. Hello, y'all sing anthems all the time. It's a rousing or uplifting song identified, right, by a popular group, and it's just a song. Now, I could sing you a couple. I've been using songs a lot because right now I'm just listening to a lot of music, which isn't always good, right? No, it depends on the music, and so sometimes it doesn't affect my psyche very well, but when you have a good anthem, okay, it becomes, right, your life song. Now, interestingly enough, this was an anthem. This whole passage was an anthem. Paul was saying, your anthem is your hardened desire to press on with Christ. Meaning your song is who you are. Meaning people will look at you and they'll be able to know where your anthem is rooted. Whether it's a Whitney Houston song, which is my current anthem, or, I'm just kidding, or the song that Christ has in your heart. And Paul was saying that you're a bunch of anthems running around. And what I've seen and heard and why I'm writing this letter would tell me that your anthem is in Christ. It is, but it isn't. Is it yours? Because, see, I believe that somehow, some way, and you've got to think about this, and many of us say, or we use the excuse, well, that was Jesus, and I think it's hard to say, well, that was Paul, because Paul didn't walk with Jesus. He didn't see that firsthand. He's very similar to us. In fact, many say that he's the apostle to us. Really kind of interesting upbringing, huge transformation. He gets us really well. And yet, still in prison, still, no matter where you believe this letter falls, probably either 30 to 33 years in, at this point, probably 28% of the New Testament already written by him. He didn't know that at the time. Pursuing Christ better and more fervently than ever. And so people knew his anthem. And every time that he wasn't enough, guess who was? Christ. Every time that it seemed hard, his anthem was Christ. Where he ended, Christ began. Where we end, Christ continues. Where I stop, he continues. Where I say I can't, he says we can. When I feel I can't go on anymore, he comes in and says, you can. When I feel discouraged, he comes in and says, no reason. When I feel defeated, he comes in and says, I've already won. When I feel alone, he comes in and says, why? I'm here. When I feel convicted in a way that others don't see the truth, he says, I see it. When I'm not sure what to do with the diagnosis, he says, I'm there. Paul lived just that way. And every time Paul came into a hard spot, where did he lean? He leaned on Christ, And interestingly enough, almost every time he ended up in a hard spot, we got a gift like this. A letter from a prison with a faithful man standing beside him and a faithful God going before him. And church, you're the same. You serve a faithful God that sends faithful people and that goes before you. So that as your influence grows, so does yours. You ever play the game, would you rather? No? Oh my goodness, like, you just, I don't know, we did it as kids, just sitting around in a fort. I remember sitting with Alex when we played this game. I don't remember what we said, but we used to play this and just lay there and dream, like, would you rather wear wet socks or wash your hair, like, once? I'd take wet socks. I mean, wash your hair, because I don't have any hair to wash, and so I could just not wear the wet socks, right? But you've never done that. Would you rather, like, think of it, just have fun with it. I had a whole bunch, but, you know, would you rather be a high school teacher or a clown? I think I'd say clown. It's a lot. I have a school at my house, and so God bless you, teachers. But, you know, fun things like that. Would you rather be forced to dance all day, every day, until you get a perfect score in Dancing with the Stars? Or would you rather just eat mashed potatoes for the rest of your life? I would definitely choose mashed potatoes, because you can make a lot out of those. We used to make potato cakes in the morning and stuff, so you can do some things with that. I don't really feel like dancing, so... But I want you to think about this. Would you rather let your influence just stay where it is, or would you rather let it grow? And if you want it to grow, then you've got to open up your capacity to press on, your capacity to chase, your capacity to be content but never content, content with life but never content with your walk with the Lord. And see, church, Christ is calling us. And here's, after 4 weeks, what I'm going to close with. Not fun, but important. As your capacity grows, so does the capacity of AFC. And that's the reality for every church and every pastor and every congregation that stands before their people today. So I want you to think about this. AFC's influence in 2023 will depend on your willingness to be. That's a very different statement. I remember growing up, we used to use language like try. And you know what Dr. Gates would do, which was my senior pastor? He would say, if you people keep on saying try, I'm going to start smacking your hands. Now, he was joking, right? But in our faith, we don't have to try. That's what you do at school. That's what you do at your job. We don't do that in the church. We don't have to try. We have to be. And if we're willing to be the people that allow the presence of God to come into our hearts, things happen. So, AFC's influence in 2023 will depend on these three things. If you'll be the people of God and let the presence of God do the rest. If you'll be a people that are willing to serve, our capacity can grow. And not only does our capacity grow, but our influence and your influence for the kingdom grows with it. And finally, it depends on your willingness to give. And yes, I mean financially, because many of you aren't living up to that capacity. And you know what that is? It's double-minded. In church, you know what double-minded is? A constant argument. Because we know in our hearts what's right. God has given each of you the ability to be his vessel. He's given each of you the ability to be a servant. Now, I don't mean you got to teach Sunday school for 25 years, but he's given you a gift. And maybe it's not even happening here yet. And you need to come and say, you know what? I have the desire to. And if it comes from the Lord, then it'll happen. And so, if you want your influence to grow, which I believe you do, then you've got to be willing to grow, to adjust, to change, and to chase. Until my mind goes, I've made a commitment to my wife, and that is I'll never stop chasing her. I'll never stop saying I've done enough. Now at times I say enough is enough, and I don't want any more added to the list. But in my heart, the times that I've said that, I immediately felt bad. Because you know what? I love her with all my heart. And I want to continue to show her that I'm willing to stretch, to learn, to grow, to watch YouTube, to do what she wants, to cut a hole in the floor, to figure out how our pipes won't freeze, because she doesn't want to pay somebody. But you know what? Every time I say, well, let's just, there's something that happens in me. And I said, no, let me do what you want, which is to try first. So if I'm willing to do that, are you willing to do that for Christ? He's given you more than anyone will ever give you. He's done more than anyone will ever do for you. And he's preparing a glorified body for you that no one else can prepare. And he wants your inner to meet your outer at some point, and that meeting to be beautiful. And when that meeting is beautiful, it means your influence has been tremendous. Not easy, but tremendous. And you know what I believe? I believe you have the capacity to do just that. Or else Paul, apostle, just like kind of us, wouldn't have said it. God, today we thank you God, I don't know how much more real I can be from this pulpit, but you know my heart, even 2 months ago, some things that I was thinking, some places that I was going in my head, you've challenged me to move from, and I have. And I've only done it because of the strength of your presence. And so today, God, as we go out, let the people sitting in this room know that it is possible for you to grow, for you to increase, for you to change our trajectory, our hearts, our minds, and as a result, increase our influence for the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. As I sit in the prayer room each week, as I listen to conversations, as I answer questions, as I even think about this past week and person after person that would say things like, how's Mary Ellen? Is Greg going to be okay? What can we do for Ryan? I met this person at the door, and God, I believe those conversations come from hearts that are ready to allow their capacity and their influence to grow. And so, God, move in our hearts, change us, transform us, increase us, challenge us, because I believe that there could be a revival from the influencers just sitting in this room today. And so we trust you, Lord. We pray against the enemy. We ask you to be with the classes that are about to happen. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So proud of you. Have a great afternoon. Now don't skip out on Sunday school.